may do papers on it, Marco. Maybe we're going to do papers. I don't even know if you need them. They're not going to be fighting each other. They've had it. They've had a big fight, like two kids in a schoolyard. You know, they fight like hell. You can't stop them. Let them fight for about 2-3 minutes. Then it's easier to stop them.
And then daddy has to sometimes use strong language.
You have to use strong language. Every once in a while, you have to use a certain word.
I think we have to join the other Senate.
And then daddy has to use strong language. That was part one of this. The initial, if you hear about President Trump being referred to as daddy. So then, of course, you can't just let that be. We certainly can't. He was at a press conference. Marco Rubio is standing over Donald Trump's shoulder. Donald Trump is at the podium. He's taking questions from the press. And Marco Rubio is about to be very amused at this next question. Of course, Donald Trump's response to it.
From Sky News. Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children?
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay?
No? Do you regard...
He did it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
Do you regard your NATO allies, though, as kind of like children? And they're obviously listening to you and they're spending more. And you're obviously appreciative of that. But do you hope that actually they're going to be able to defend themselves, defend Europe on their own? Without
I think they need help a little bit at the beginning. And
get back to that daddy part. That was...
If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay?
No? Do you
he did
regard...
He did it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
Can you imagine Joe Biden fielding that question? Can you imagine Kamala Harris fielding that question?
No, I can imagine. I can imagine Biden doing it and reading almost the exact same thing, but it just sounding sad.
Creepy. It's kind of a little creepy from Trump.
Yeah, it's a little.
It's very funny, though.
It is funny.
In the flip side, if you hate Trump, does that just like, do you just crawl out of your skin when you hear that?
I don't know, because I can't figure out if it's really hard to remove yourself from Trump world. You either hate him, visceral reaction, as they always say on The View, or you like the guy and you're willing to listen to him, even if you put up with some of the nonsense or whatever. I cannot remove myself enough to be like, okay, now I'm on the left. How do I feel about a clip like that? Because I think I would laugh, but I don't know what that's like to lead with hate so much that you can't laugh. I mean, if Biden nailed a joke or Obama, I would say it was pretty funny, you know? But there are people who will not concede that a joke could land from
it. Okay,
no. He did
it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
I mean, it's funny.
Nobody would have asked Joe Biden that question. It would potentially start a war.
Well, they would, but it would be on a card, and the intern ahead of time would have written it down for him.
Let me just once again revisit my frustration that greeting cards, you can't go to the greeting card section and see cards making fun of presidents anymore. We grew up with that. There were greeting cards like Bill Clinton.
They were the best.
Bill Clinton was a great gift to the greeting card industry.
Oh, yeah.
George W. Bush, mm-hmm. You know, the Bill Clinton one was his Playboy nature.
Yes.
And kind of like a Southern Arkansan thing. Probably some like Bill Clinton cartoons in his underpants or something like that. We could go on, but we won't. George W. Bush, probably him being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little too zealous on the fighting thing. But we, you know, I feel like I could... Ronald Reagan, I mean, he was caricature-esque. I think it stopped with Obama, because I think they lost their ability to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, I do too. There wasn't...
Like, he was beyond reproach.
There wasn't a caricature that anybody could grab with Obama that was like, oh, that's too sensitive. We can't. He's the first black president. We can't make fun of him. Nobody would touch it.
We should start now.
Yeah, we should.
With Obama. Just making up for lost time. I want to talk about this story that is wild. And somebody who in my family has a centennial family farm. My husband's family has a centennial family farm. I am a huge fan of the show Yellowstone. And that reminds me of this. Andy Henry is a co-owner with his brother of this family farm in New Jersey.
And now they're saying, well, actually, we'll just take half of it and leave you the house. That would leave us with a non-viable farm for at least 40 cows and many sheep.
How does this make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel terrible. It was a shock. We are surrounded by warehouses. We've been turning down developers for years, and we just wanted to be left alone and take care of our place like my ancestors did before us.
So here you have a man who is helping run an active family farm. This is a, to me, it's not even an important detail in the story, but it's continually put out there when people are covering the story. But they have this farm, and New Jersey has said, we're going to take it and we're going to put in affordable housing. So Fox Business reports a longtime family farm in Cranberry, New Jersey is at risk of being seized by the town through eminent domain. The situation with the farm owned by brothers Christopher and Andy Henry, which has been in their family for 175 years.
Wow.
Recently drew notice from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins. Rollins said on X last week that she was, quote, looking into the situation immediately, adding, quote, we must protect family farms at all costs. Quote, whether the Mauds, the Henrys, or others, whom we will soon announce, the Biden-style government takeover of our family farms is over. While this particular case is a city eminent domain issue, we at USDA are exploring every legal option to help. Rollins also said that she had been on the phone with Andy Henry, so they're in direct communication. Fox Business reports the farm is under threat of seizure by Cranberry Township after a town committee signed off on a measure that would pave the way for eminent domain seizure. Cranberry Township is looking at possibly building state-mandated affordable housing on a large portion of the farm's land. The Henry brothers have reportedly been fighting to prevent the seizure of the farm for months. The family farm, which is now leased out for cattle farming, has belonged to Christopher and Andy Henry for over a dozen years. They've poured $200,000 into the property and declined offers of up to $30 million made by developers at that time. While advocating to keep their farm, the Henry brothers have said its proximity to warehouses would not make it a good spot to construct affordable housing and that there are better sites elsewhere. Their attorney, Timothy Dugan, also argued the move contradicts the town's work to preserve agriculture land in the area. Fox Business reached out to the mayor and to Dugan for comment, and Andy Henry told Fox Business correspondent Jeff Flock that the town's move, quote, totally shocked us. This enrages me. Mm-hmm. This makes me crazy. And Emily Campagno said this on Outnumbered earlier today, and I'm going to quote her and give her credit for saying it because it was exactly the right way to say it. But land ownership like this in this country is sacred. And to think that any township would be like, we got a state mandated affordable housing mandate that we have to meet. We'll take that. Like hell you will. There is emotion in me that is very, very, very palpable hearing the story.
I couldn't agree more. And I hated hearing even in that story that the farm's lawyer, one of their arguments is, well, there's much better areas even to do your government. Who cares? Screw that there's better areas. This is this guy's land. Yeah. I don't care whether there's better areas or not. That isn't yours.
Yeah.
You don't touch it.
It's not yours, and it doesn't matter how many people voted for it.
Here's the good thing about this, and this is where the media is actually succeeding here, is that Fox News is it's the biggest news station in the world, our country anyway. They're making this a story. That means this story will probably start to simmer down and die down, and maybe even the farmer will win here.
But go ahead. Sorry.
What bothers me is that there are stories like this that never make the big mm-hmm. news.
They better now.
And you don't hear about them, and they just kind of get swept away. And they're usually not as egregious as this one, so they don't make the big news. And this is happening all the time in our country right now because of eminent domain.
I know in the time that my parents have lived on their family farm that they've had people walk up to the door and say, I'll give you $1 million for this. So that type of stuff happens. Mm-hmm. And the property, you know, any type of family farm property, everything's looked at for development right now. Was it worth $1 million? Yes or no? It is if someone's going to hand it to you. And it might be that one person at that one time. If these people are offered $30 million and they're saying no, take the hint. Butt out. Go somewhere else. There's somebody else out there that wants to take that money and meet that need. This isn't a conversation about affordable housing. This is absolutely a conversation about the sacred right of land ownership. Oh, man. I hope Brooke Rollins continues to push this. Maybe, I don't know if we can get her on the show, but I'd like to talk to her. It's not really, you know, the U.S. The agriculture secretary. Is she the secretary of agriculture? Is that what it's called? It's not really. Yeah. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins. I don't know. This is personal to me.
This is a private ownership story at its core. It also is an extra kick while you're down. We're going to take it from you without your consent, and we're going to give it to other people to live on it for free. That's ridiculous.
That's communism.
I mean, again, we're back to this is really a private ownership story, but the fact that that's what they're doing with it is so bad.
Rage. Wait, I have rage.
If you don't have the property and they can just take it, do you ever actually own it?
Only if you're permitted to. You will own nothing. Just ask Carol Roth.
Let's have a conversation about property taxes, too.
Let's have a conversation about what's going on local in a segment that I don't know what the name of it is because we haven't heard what Ryan named it yet. Yes, Ethan's coming in with local news next, and we've made the grave mistake of letting Ryan name it. Every day, something different. Ethan, come here. We'll be right back. All right, tonight. No doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just YouTube.com/@AnnieFry to vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Does the world respect the United States? Yes or no? And I was having a conversation last week with somebody about listening to the show. And I was like, do you listen to it on the app? They said, there's an app. And I said, yeah, it's the Audacy app. AUDACY. You can stream this show and this station, 97.1 FM Talk, anywhere, everywhere, all of the time. That's really our preference, but you can, you know, somewhere in that amount of time, stream us and keep us with you. We'd love to have you. All right, let's get to the next part here. Ryan.
Hold up. Check it out.
And now, Gangsta Ethan's Mega Segma.
How do you feel about that one?
That's positive.
Ryan's renaming the local news segment every day that Ethan's hosting, and we hear it for the first time now.
Yesterday was a saucy soiree. Today it's Gangsta Ethan's Mega Segma.
Well, so yesterday I know we were taking requests
still
from
are
the people
on Annie Fry's YouTube channel.
Was that who came?
That wasn't one of those.
Okay.
I'm saving all those up. Got and then it. I'll send a whole session to our voice guy.
Going back to
listener suggestions.
The Audacy app.
Yes.
You might encourage people to do this.
Yes. You could record your own by tapping the microphone there in the Audacy app.
So if you'd have to be like streaming 97.1.
Yeah, you'd be streaming. And then you see the little microphone icon. You can leave us a voice
it's
message.
It's kind of by the play button.
And your voice message could be you just reading one of those intros.
Just make one up and
send
it to us.
And I'll use your audio.
And you can name Ethan's segment.
So let me just make sure I have it straight for today. The title of my segment for today is Gangsta Ethan's Mega Segma?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. I had to type it down just so I make sure I remembered it.
Bill said Segma or Smegma?
Segma.
Okay.
Segma.
I also had him say segment, but I thought it sounded better Mega Segma.
Yeah, because I'm a gangsta. Maybe if you said gangster
Mega Segma.
Then you
exactly
go segment,
thank
but
you
not gangster.
Very much on the same page as you today.
That scares me.
What's happening locally, Ethan?
Well, if you're unaware with this new segment
just
that we're
add
doing,
that to that's that clip right there.
That's exactly what this is, a touch of local news. If you have any stories that you would like to have added to this segment in the coming days, be sure to DM me on X at @echan7 at @echann7
or just touch. Tweet at him. Yeah.
That works too. Post so, it. Annie, I have a quick question before this one. Would you define...
I have a lot of questions.
Would you define, like, Carlinville as local?
Yeah.
Could that get away with... Can we get away with that?
Carlinville can... I know people. I love people in Carlinville.
I know. It's a couple hours away, right? But I mean...
No.
No, is it not? Is it closer than that?
Carlinville just runs the whole media narrative and it drives me crazy. It's like when the
tired
Carlinville...
of the big Carlinville takeover.
Exactly. Oh,
maybe that's Carterville. That's a couple of hours away.
I bet from here it's maybe 75
Carbondale?
Minutes.
Carbondale.
Yeah.
I run.
Carbondale
I mix up
the opposite
all the,
direction.
The car blank Illinois towns.
Yep. Way to be super dismissive of
thank you.
Our favorite town, Carlinville, Illinois.
Okay, well, I have a funny...
I said it'd be about 75 minutes, and from where we are right now, it's an hour and 13.
Ooh, she's so right.
Because I know Carlinville.
Do you ever get tired of that? I get tired of that.
I think I'm
Me,
too new
kind of
to having my own
today,
segment
you know?
To say that on air. Well,
I don't get tired of it.
I have a story. I have a story out of Carlinville.
That happens I think all the
that,
time.
Oh, yeah?
I think, well, they control the media narrative, apparently.
But it's this, all he talks about on Wiggins America.
But this one really fits perfectly in, I believe, with the essence of what the Annie Fry show is.
That's terrifying.
Making fun of liberals.
Okay. Ah, no.
The title of this story, Manure Trucks Disrupt Anti-Trump Protest at Macoupin County Courthouse.
I did speak at the Macoupin County Lincoln Day dinner.
I drove one of those trucks in the story.
A manure truck. You would be hauling a bunch of...
You're just full of it.
That guy's full of poop.
I hate manure.
So,
do you know what that's from?
No.
God dang it!
Watch
did you watch
Spaceballs?
Spaceballs? It's not from Spaceballs.
But you still have to watch that.
Then nothing. Why are you asking about Spaceballs if
have
this
you,
isn't even from it?
Have you ever
okay,
seen...
Those are two completely unrelated topics.
Have you ever seen Back to the Future?
Yes.
Okay.
But only once.
Oops. I hate manure?
I don't remember that.
Biff?
Nope.
Tannen?
Nope.
It's a running joke.
Absolutely nothing.
I said dance! Go on. I'll just do this for the rest of the segment.
So, for the past 6 weeks... there have been anti-Donald Trump protests being held outside of the Macoupin County Courthouse, as mentioned, which is in Carlinville.
Macoupin County. What are we going to do about this?
And, well...
A great solution.
This past week, some...
it's lunchtime. Going to have to park these things somewhere.
Some people that weren't necessarily a fan of the protesting that has been going on parked their trucks in trailers... Just that were full of manure right in front of them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Literally right in front of them.
Did they quit protesting?
No.
What kind of manure?
Good for them too.
They actually countered back pretty well.
With what?
With farts. Like they what'd you say? Did you say with farts?
We'll see your manure and raise your flatulence.
One of the protesters actually said, like, you know, I give him credit. Like, that's a pretty creative idea.
I have protesting respect, First Amendment respect for both sides.
They said they then responded and said, but they underestimated the symbolism. The one thing they chose to represent their side of the conversation with is a huge pile of manure. So they said, I'll let the symbolism of that
slam.
Do the talking. So they end up making a bunch of signs that say, you know, like Trump's policies stink and stuff like that. So they really did play on it pretty well.
So then they're like, these are our poop trucks.
That's kind of what it seems like they're going for here.
Still doesn't feel like a win.
They counterpunched and they just kind of like clipped them with maybe like
imagine,
a knuckle.
This is why I love Macoupin County. Like, hey, can we get some poop trucks up here? Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah, we don't call it
because those are farm people.
Macoupin County for nothing.
So you
no!
Guys,
stop. No,
I'm not making fun of them.
Yes, you are. Do not disrespect them. They're
I'm
my
not.
Some of
I
my
love
favorite
them.
People.
Macoupin love
County.
Those guys.
So do you guys? Who do you guys give the win to in this situation? The I'm assuming it was probably Republicans that.
God, I
kind of want to
say it's a draw though, because if
draw.
It didn't make them stop protesting, it's not like they won.
Ryan, I want to know what your opinion on this.
I think that the only way you could declare a winner in this category is if they dump the poop on the protesters.
No!
And the protesters
that would be
were
a
like,
crime.
Ah, ah, they just like started screaming and melting. Then you go, I think I see a winner here.
Yeah,
that didn't happen.
That would be a crime.
Yes, yes. But I'm talking
that
about
that wouldn't
symbolism.
Be a win for them either.
Because the symbolism would be clearly in the Republicans' favor there. I know the Democrats tried to make the symbolism in their favor. I don't think they won either.
Wow.
I think this was a draw.
I think it's a draw. I think
everybody's having a good time, though.
I am.
Well, be sure to stay tuned in for more information on Macoupin County and the protesting off going on against the two sides. As we move on here in Gangsta Ethan's Mega Segma.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, at the end of the segment, if I get a private
Mega Segma.
Text message from someone who tells me exactly whose trucks they were.
That would be awesome.
I'd like to know. I won't.
Can we get them on for maybe tomorrow's Gangsta Ethan's Mega Segma?
We should have them come in and do a segment, but in like disguise.
That would be awesome.
And it won't
as
be
Biff
called
Tannen
that tomorrow.
So. Only.
It's Biff Tannen.
Back to the Future 3, Biff Tannen.
Briefly before we wrap, I do have to mention this as well. I know we've talked about it in the past. It was a couple of months ago when the Blues were in the playoffs. All of the John Gruden hoopla, the chaos.
Yeah.
He is back in St. Louis tonight throwing out the first pitch at the Cardinals game.
I'm gonna be there.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Game 3 of Cardinals-Cubs has been two of the best games of the year. The Cardinals are red hot right now, and they're bringing in the secret weapon at the perfect time to keep the crowd in it. It's hot out right now in St. Louis. The crowds haven't been amazing the last couple of days, but I imagine the people will be there for John Gruden tonight. He posted another goofy video just getting the people hype, and let's hope that the Cardinals are able to stay red hot and get another win tonight.
Having more fun in life than John Gruden right now?
I don't think so, genuinely.
This guy just looks like a kid in a candy store always.
He is totally bought into, I think, the stigma that kind of like Barstool wanted for him going into that new job, and he's having so much fun with it. And I don't even know if he's really a Cardinal fan or a Blues fan. I think he's more so just like, this group of people is bought in and they're all about it, so I'm going to be all in as well.
What I think he is, a sports fan, and I think he identifies places that do it well.
Well said.
And we do that well here.
Yes.
And he acknowledges it. I'm like, what if you're a Cubs fan? And John Gruden's out there like, go beat those Cubbies. I'd be like, hey, what did we do?
The Cardinals were 14-19 the first time that he made his video. Shortly after, they went on a 9-game win streak. He made another video. And the Cardinals, I believe, now have won 6 of their last 7. They have won the first 2 games against the Cubs. So, you know, bringing in the guy to keep this momentum going at the right time.
All right. Well, I know there are a lot of regularly scheduled anti-Trump protests that are taking place in a lot of towns. I know Edwardsville has one as well. And I get pictures of them from people, and I'm like, okay, they're doing their thing. I don't know who has time to protest in the middle of the day. I certainly don't. But they're doing their thing. They're exercising their First Amendment right. And in Carlinville, Illinois, Macoupin County, they showed up with poop.
Not to be mistaken with Carterville or Carbondale.
No.
Carlinville.
No. But if you guys do something crazy, we will report on that as well.
Amen.
It's
what we do here on Gangsta Ethan's Mega Segma. Had to look at it again.
Check it out.
And now,
if you want to name it,
Mega Segma.
Something better than Mega Segma. Hit us up on the Odyssey app, record something, send it to us, comment on the YouTube channel. We'll be right back. So the Wall Street Journal put out a story. American women have never been this resigned to stay single. The challenges of finding a romantic partner have been made more complicated by a growing divide in education and career prospects between men and women. So the Wall Street Journal is highlighting that they have the quote on their image that they share here. Dating is the only thing you can put 10,000 hours into and end up right where you started.
So the concern is that men have become so highly educated that their female peers are far below them?
Well, it says American women are giving up on marriage, and a major demographic shift have put men and women on divergent paths. That's left more women resigned to being single. The numbers are not netting out. Question in your circle, Ryan. Now, we're all about the same age. In your circle, Ryan, do you have... Obviously, you don't need to give names unless you're trying to make some magic happen here. But do you have single guy friends or single friends that are women that are of your age, middle age, 30s, maybe 40s, even in their late 20s? Are there people in your circle that are single?
Yeah. Well, among my close group of friends, no. There are a couple friends I have that are single, though. Yes.
Were they married?
No.
Never been?
Never been married.
Men or women?
I'm thinking of one guy in particular. He's a great guy. He's probably 43, 44.
Single.
Never been married.
What about you?
Yeah, I have a couple friends that are like that are
what
not
age?
Married.
Range?
Late 20s to late 30s.
Do you think there's a consistency in why they haven't found somebody? Are they interested?
Yes. At least in the case that I'm thinking of.
I don't know if the guys that I know are actually interested in getting married.
I I was thinking about this because you hear these stories about how women are, you know, getting married later, but then you see a lot of these articles that are like, the dating pool just absolutely sucks, blah, blah, blah. But they're also in the same conjunction of stories that are talking about how women are pursuing and prioritizing careers and education and their own independent, stable economic situation. And then they get all that, and then they're like, all right, now let's get a man. And it isn't working. I saw somebody on X, and I wish I knew who it was, but it's just kind of a random person, and it struck me that they said that churches, church communities, faith communities need to start focusing specifically on singles events, even like mixing with other churches. Okay, maybe you go intra-denomination, but you get with some other churches who are of the same sort of theological sound mind, but need to start creating communities for singles so that people can find like-minded significant others for those later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at, I mean, I don't really have very many single people in my life, but I'm also surrounded by my work community, which is small. I mean, we work with a lot of people, but we really... we basically see each other every day. And
yeah, five, six people maybe.
Yeah.
Total.
My work community, my kids' communities, which is school, but it's a Lutheran school environment, which I'm very grateful for. The sports communities they're connected to, which in many cases are adjacent to the Lutheran schools that they go to. And church, like, there is the thread of my life has a consistency. It's always not very far away from something that is faith-based. I'm not like shunning things that aren't faith-based, but that's just how you have 24 hours in a day. That's how it's shaken out. And I don't feel like I have a whole lot of single people in my life. And I think that the faith-based community is probably... the priorities of the people there are going to be different than like everybody in the world on average. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I see these stories from the Wall Street Journal and I always see how women, it's always connected to like how women are trying to have it all. Well, I kind of think women have always been kind of trying to have it all. You didn't have to quantify it that way. But I'm pretty sure that women in the 50s who were making a home and helping shepherd a family and providing for the family in the ways that they did more traditionally in our culture, still very much so could have felt like they had it all. And it all might have been a 3-bed, 2-bedroom house with a single income that paid for the bills, made the mortgage, and they had a close-knit social circle, maybe they near their family to help raise the family, whatever. That seems super traditional. They didn't have careers, but I don't think that they were all sitting there lamenting like, gosh, I'm so unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was happening. And I know people that are in 2025, myself included, who do have a dual income in the house. We are trying to make ends meet to provide a Lutheran education, to make sure that we pay our bills. We have, you know, provide opportunities for our kids to participate in things that we think will be productive for them. And I feel fulfilled. Priority for me was always, it was not even graduate college, get married. I always prioritized, in my mind, family. And all of these other things kind of swarmed around that for me. And I knew I wanted a career. There were times, especially after I had Charlie, my firstborn, that I was like, I want to stay at home. And I thought I wanted to do that pretty much until I had my second kid. When Jensen was born, I was like, I really like what I do for a living. It wasn't about getting out of the home, but it was about like, I want to do both. So I've made that happen for me. I'm grateful for the opportunity. But somehow or another, feminism, specifically postmodern feminism, has told women that it's not enough to say, you know, I'd kind of like to try to juggle both. I'd kind of like to be in both places and see what I can do. That you have to fully succeed to your greatest potential economically and your career and everything. And you have to make sure that you put yourself first, because the world has put you last for so much, for so many years, that you are the only one who can look out for you. And you need to go out and succeed and show the man what you can do. And the men are like, look at her go. I'm going to go get a wife. And they've passed it up, and they've elected to not sit around and wait for women in their 30s and 40s. I don't know how many people in their 30s and 40s and 50s are getting married for the first time to people who have been also married for the first time.
It's one of the weird conundrums of teaching alternative viewpoints so heavily, is that it's fine. Tell people there's an alternative to the way that it is. But then we've stopped telling people that there's the original way. We've only taught the new way and said, well, this is the way that, you know, the old way exists, but it's bad. Instead of teaching people, you know, there are multiple paths to happiness here. Seek something out. See which one works for you.
But also, at the foundation of what you're saying, this is maybe the point that you're making, that the measurement of that success is really based in revenge.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's never like your battle for fulfillment starts with you.
And that is kind of the point that I'm making. You're right, because if it were just, here are a number of different options, you haven't thought about these as much. These are the ones that everybody talks about, but have you considered this? That's not the way it's presented. It's presented exactly the way you're saying, that other way, you need to do something differently, because I know people who've tried the traditional way and they didn't like it. So it must be bad for everybody. Try this other way.
Not only that, but within feminism, there was an argument about whether or not women should actually be able to choose to stay in the home. There's a group of feminists that were like, no, we're fighting for the choice. But then there was another group that said, if we allow women to not go to work, to not do these things, to stay at home and be homemakers, it will wreck everything that we've fought for.
I don't think they have power, though. I don't think that the postmodern feminists that try to shame people from staying home, that they really do have that much power. It's more the internal struggle. And we don't live in a society anymore where you can have a single income and just make it. If you go again, now, people are going to be like, Annie's talking about Rubio again. She must hate Trump. Shut up. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, if you go back and listen to the Marco Rubio comments in 2016 when he was running for president, he was all about the American family. It was all about the American family. And encouraging people and to understand that we cannot continue to go down this big government way of providing. Like, the government is super excited to get in the way of the man who should be taking responsibility for his actions when he has impregnated a woman, and then he just gets to leave the situation. He gets to, at most, he'll get his paycheck deducted whenever he gets it, if he gets it. He can just walk away, and at most it becomes a wage garnishment. That's what men in our culture can do right now when you don't value life and when you don't hold people accountable for their actions. The left's response to that is, we'll just kill the baby. I mean, literally, yeah. Sexual freedom for women, it's been sold to women that you can be as sexually promiscuous and irresponsible as men if you also don't have to have a baby. So we'll just kill it. That level of equality, also evil, is something that has been sold to people as some sort of empowerment. In the same way, women have been in the middle of this tug of war in a political sense for decades now, pretty much my entire life. And everybody's telling them, like, this is what makes you powerful. This is what makes you powerful. And now we're in a moment in time where the very thing that makes women powerful, you don't even have to have the organs in order to say that you're powerful as a woman. Or you can have the organs and you can identify as a man, and now men are just as powerful as women are in those regards, because you can just say you're something else. I think, like, real feminist empowerment comes from women who put their hands over the ears and they think to themselves, Lord, what is best for me? What is best for my family? What is best for the family you want me to have? Guide me. Instead of waiting for people to try to, you know, applaud you along your path because you're doing the thing that they want you to do. I see a lot of these stories, a lot of stories. And that's from the Wall Street Journal. That's not from like Cosmo or CareerAddict.com, where they have never gotten more publicity than they do on this show.
CareerAddict.com is pretty much
gospel.
Close to gospel.
Close. Just right next, right under
Not
it.
Quite.
When you see the Wall Street Journal talking about this, that means that we might be moving into something that is a cultural problem. Women aren't getting married. Women aren't having children. The amount of children we need to have to replace population generation after generation is of grave concern. So folks out there, if you're listening to me, if you have kids, if you have grandkids, encourage them. Yes, college degree, whatever is going to help them be independently successful in life. Don't overemphasize the money to the point where they fear risking the family, because the family is what will drive the entire purpose and intent of the money down the road. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be impressive, but it can be incredibly fulfilling. Those stories always make me sad. YouTube live chat poll. Does the world respect the United States? Yes or no? Results with Ethan on the Annie Fry Show. When we come back, don't go away. But I'm not dead.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I got a gal who's mighty sweet.
Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Her name is Rosabelle McGee, and she tips the scales at 303 OG. But ain't it grand to have a gal so big and fat that when you go to hug her, you don't know where you're at? You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug a ways and chalk a mark to see where you began. One day I was a hugging and a chalking and a chalking and a hugging away when I met another fellow with some chalk in his hand. Coming around the other way over the mountain. Coming around the other way.
Can you believe this song exists?
No.
And it's from the 1940s?
You know what I can't believe is that he sets up the joke about using chalk to hug a big fat lady.
Big fat lady whom he loves.
And then he goes into a whole couple verses about how it would happen. I thought, oh, it's a funny joke. And then he's like, no, but practically speaking.
I was sitting in the car when this came on 40s Junction, and I stared at my radio. It kind of gets better here.
Oh, does it? There's
well,
more?
You know, when I pulled this,
did
I had
you listen?
No. In fact, when I put it in today, I was like, oh, you know, she likes to mix in the oldies on
yeah.
the occasion.
Listen.
I did not expect this.
My joints don't creak, but I grow pale and I get limp every time I see my baby blimp. Oh, gee. But ain't it grand to have a gal so big and fat that when you
Hokey
go
Carmichael,
to hug her,
you 1947.
Don't know where you're at, you have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug a bit and chalk a mark to see where you began.
Back
one
to the
day.
Chalk again, man. That's a recurring
yeah.
bit there.
The whole
it sounds
idea
sounds like
is,
a parody song.
I think the song is called like Huggin' and a Chalkin' or something.
Huggin' and Chalkin'.
Huggin' and Chalkin'. Wow.
I heard that, and like I said, I was sitting at a stoplight, and I just stared at my radio like, this can't be real. I'm having a stroke. And my daughter was in the car with me, and she was just like, whoa. I'm like, I don't know. This is grandma and grandpa's generations. Not their grandma, my
yeah.
grandma's generation. What were you people doing?
Yeah, you know, that generation, I always considered them to be named things like Roger and George. But if you were in music, your name had to be something like, hey, I'm Hoagy Carmichael. Like, oh, that guy must be in music.
Hoagy Carmichael. What?
How do we do radio after that?
I don't know. Yeah, like when they say something, when they say limp, and then it's going into the next time, I'm like, don't you do it. Like, I just did it.
Did you see George down the street? Yeah, he's going into music with that Flanny Garble Chunks.
That's a little too close to my
that,
name.
Yeah. I love that Johnny Duncan.
There you go,
and
exactly.
His funky bunch.
Oh, my gosh. Real quick here before we get to the YouTube live chat poll results, asking you, hurry up, vote, does the world respect the United States? The New York City mayor election last night, the primary happened, Cuomo lost. Does that surprise you at all that he lost?
I thought he would be closer than he was.
Here are from the Daily Wire some of the craziest policy proposals from candidates. The first one is crime-fighting therapists. Michael Blake, formerly in the Obama administration, said he would hire 1,000 mental health professionals who will be trained to de-escalate emergencies without law enforcement presence. They'll work alongside or instead of police. How could that go wrong?
This is the same stupid playbook. It's not even new anymore.
Golf courses turned houses. New York City comptroller Brad Lander plans to solve the housing crisis by paving over 2,500 acres of golf courses to build affordable homes. To make it even better, as part of his, quote, affirming housing, end quote, policy, Lander plans to build LGBTQ plus senior housing. How do you build housing, senior housing that's LGBTQ plus?
They check when you apply. Wait a minute, are you gay?
Would be government funded, is that right?
It looks like it, yeah.
Oh boy.
Number three, abortion, hospitality industry. Lander's back with another banger policy. His website promises safe, effective abortion care if the federal government limits or withdraws the abortion pill. His vision is to, quote, build a pipeline of abortion providers for New York City and beyond.
Oh my God.
The phrase build a pipeline.
Number four, anti-racism for kindergartners. State Senator Zelnor Myrie wants to make sure 5-year-olds are, quote, anti-racists. His website states that he will expand the tolerance curriculum to ages K through 5. So, quote, all students have access to anti-discriminatory and anti-hate curriculum.
I support this. 5 and 4-year-olds are some of the most hateful people I've ever met.
Hateful, yes, but pretty non-discriminatorily. Yeah, so.
They hate everyone.
If they've got a thought, they're going to tell you, and you need to brace yourself for impact. Last one real quick. Maybe the worst, $65 million to trans the kids. In addition to copying the communist playbook, Mom Donnie wants to spend millions on gender-affirming surgeries for adults and children. He will also investigate hospitals that deny trans youth their rightful health care.
Only one way to respond to that. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess you could also respond with the YouTube live chat poll results. 255 votes. Does the world respect the United States? 80% say yes. 20% no.
That's like the highest no that we've had here in this week division. Do you think the world respects the United States, Ryan?
Yes.
Ethan?
Yes.
Brad?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do too, absolutely. We agree with the majority. Thank you for listening today. The podcasts are available on the Odyssey app. You can also go to AnnieFryShow.com/podcast and check out everything Annie Fry Show there. The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk next.